today and probably tomorrow also, we're going to do the Sugya of Kamei B'Draminei. The Sugya of Kamei B'Draminei comes up in Maseches Makos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and the context of the Sugya and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Makos is because we're discussing over here. The Elu Ein Alokin, those people who get Malkus, and the Mishnah had listed all of these different arayos, all of these different forbidden relationships for which one gets Malkus for. And the Gemara notes that, wait a second, a lot of these arayos you have kares for. So if you're already getting kares, should you also get Malkus on top of the kares? So the Gemara notes right away that it seems that you're getting kares and malchus simultaneously. Is that something that's okay, that a person is going to be chayav kares and malchus for the same avera? So right away the Gemara says at the beginning, chayavi krisus katani, chayavi misas based in lo katani. Those relationships for which you're chayav misas based in don't get listed in the Mishnah as something you're going to be chayav malchus for. Why not? Because if you're already chayav misas based in, you're not going to get malchus. And the Gemara quotes three shitos in Tanaim, which averos you get malchus for, and which averos you don't get malchus for. It quotes the shita of Rabbi Akiva that if you're chayav kares, you could still get malchus, but if you're chayav misas based in, you don't get malchus. Then we have the shita of Rabbi Yishmael who holds that even chayav misas based in would get malchus. Even those who are chayav misas based in could still get malchus. And then we have the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak that neither chayav krisus nor chayav misas based in get malchus. They are both pater from malchus. Only chayav krisus, only regular lavin rather, would get malchus. Now what's the svara over here? So the Gemara says, what's the svara for Rabbi Akiva? Why does Rabbi Akiva say that chayav misas based in don't get malchus and chayav krisus do get malchus? And the way the Gemara ultimately decides is that there is a pasuk. The pasuk says kidei rish aso, and from the pasuk kidei rish aso we derive that mishum risha achas ata mechayvo viata mechayvo mishum shtei rishayos, that a person is only gets one punishment for any given crime. You don't get two punishments for a single crime. So a man violates a lo sase in the Torah, which also happens to carry with it a penalty of misas based in. Well, based in can only give him the misa; they cannot give him the malchus because kidei rishaso. And that's why Rabbi Kiva would say chayav krisus are also part of malchus. Because I'm sorry, Rabbi Kiva says chayav krisus get malchus. Why would chayav krisus get malchus? So says the Gemara, because Rabbi Kiva holds it's true. Based in can only give you one punishment for a given avera. However, kares is not given by Beis Din. Kares is given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that carries out Misas Kares, he's the one that carries out the onesh of Kares, Beis Din is still open to give you Malkus. Because Beis Din didn't give you a more severe punishment. It's only Hashem that's giving you a more severe punishment. That's why Chayavi Krisus can get Malkus. That is the Svara for Rabbi Akiva. What about Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel holds that even Chayav Misas Beis Din can get Malkus. Even people who are already Chayav Misas and Beis Din, Beis Din's carrying out the more severe punishment, even they can get Malkus. How do you make sense of that? That even Chayav Misas Beis Din get Malkus? So the Gemara explains, this is all down Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara explains that the Svara for Rabbi Shmuel is that we don't view Malkus and Misa as two separate punishments. We view them as a continuation of each other. Malchus is considered to be the beginning of Misa. If you wanted to kill somebody, not that you should, but if you wanted to kill somebody and all you had was your bare hands and a baseball bat or a bullwhip, how would you go about killing them? So you'd probably just beat the gesundheit out of them until they're dead. So you'd start with Malkus and continue and just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going until they're dead. So Malkus is the beginning of Misa. We don't view it as two separate punishments. It's the same punishment. If it were Mamon and Misa, those are two separate punishments. But Malkus and Misa, they're the same punishment. And that would be the Svara for Rabbi Yishmael. That would be the logic for Rabbi Shmuel's Shita. What about Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak is the easiest to understand. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that you cannot get both Kares and Malkus, and you cannot get both Mises Bezin and Malkus, because you cannot get two punishments, period. You can only get one punishment. And when you can only get one punishment, which punishment do we give you if you did something that's deserving of two punishments, but you only can get one, which one do we give you? Whichever one is worse. So which is worse, Kares or Malkus? Kares is worse. Which is worse, Mises Bezin or Malkus? Mrs. Bezdin is worse. So we only give you the worst of the two punishments. When you do Stam Alav, that doesn't have any more serious punishment than Malkus, then we're going to give you Malkus. That is the Svarah for Rabbi Yitzchak. So essentially what our Gemara says is that there is a pasuk in the Torah, Kedei Rish Haso. Kedei Rish Haso teaches us Mishum Rish Achas Atam Mechayv V'yatam Mechayv Mishum Shtei Rish Hayos. And the discussion in Tanaim is just how broadly we apply that rule. Right? Where exactly we're allowed to apply that rule, but the rule definitely exists, and the rule is based on a pasuk in the Torah, Kedei Rish Haso. What do we call that rule? So we call that rule Kam Lebidrabnine, that we give the worst of the two punishments. That's the title that we have for that rule. Good. So the main place in Shas, the primary place in Shas, where the concept of Kam Lebidrabnine is discussed, is in the third parak of Maseches Ksuvos. In fact, when you learn Maseches Ksuvos, the first parak is very exciting. Every daf, every amud really is a new sugya, and you get a little bit of Avelus and Shavu Brachos and Shabbos and, you know, all sorts of fascinating topics in the first parak of Ksuvos. Second parak, you get some real lamdus, Pesha Asr, Pesha Hitir, you get a good Dinim Amunus lamdus and Migo and whatever, some very, very significant lamdus. And the third parak is what makes it unique is that the entire parak is pretty much one sugya. The entire parak is Kam Lebidrabnine. So in yeshivas, sometimes the yeshivas dafka love learning that parak because you could really sink your teeth into a sugya. Others don't like love learning that parak because it's hard to be interested in one topic for an entire zman. You know, so if you're only going to do the whole parak, the whole zman. So if you ever learn through parak, it's all about Kam Lebidrabnine. So there are a couple of interesting gemaras, important gemaras to see to give us a little bit of a context of Kam Lebidrabnine. But just to point out that Kam Lebidrabnine comes up in a couple of other places in Maseches Makos as well. This Daf Yud Gimel and Beis is not the only place where it comes up in Maseches Makos. It also comes up in the context of Kimu Vlo Kimu Bitlu Vlo Bitlu, which is a major sugya in the third parak of Maseches Makos. The sugya of Kimu Vlo Kimu Bitlu Vlo Bitlu can be summarized as follows. Generally speaking, if a person violates a lava nitik laasei, a lav that you can correct by doing a mitzvah saseh, one does not get malchus for lav anita klase. What if, though, you don't... So what's an example of lav anita klase? What's an avera that you can correct by doing a mitzvah saseh? It's correctable with a mitzvah saseh. What would be such an avera? So a classic example would be steal. If you steal, that's a lav, it's a little saseh, you don't get malchus for that. Why? Because nita klase, there's a way to fix it. How do you fix it? It's a mitzvah in the Torah to return a stolen item. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to steal so you can fulfill that mitzvah in the Torah. Not every mitzvah in the Torah is a person supposed to try to fulfill. For example, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to give your wife a get, but if you actually get along with your wife, so it's probably not a great idea to try to fulfill that mitzvah in the Torah, but it's a situational mitzvah. Given the situation that you find yourself with stolen property that you stole from somebody, you have a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to return an item that you stole. So, or for example, nosar. If a person leaves carbon meat over past the zman that you're allowed to leave it over, Karban Pesach, for example. When are you allowed to eat Karban Pesach until? What's the latest time to eat Karban Pesach? So it's machlokas tanaim, either chatzos or throughout the entire night till the next morning. Right, that's the machlokas tanaim. We're makbid, that we try to, since our afikomen is secher lepesach, we try to eat the afikomen by chatzos, because we try to be makbid. If you leave Karban Pesach over past that zman, it becomes nosar. What's the halach with nosar? The halach is, if you left it over, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, be'ish tisrofu, to burn the nosar. So nosar is a lav anit klasei, because it's a lav that you shouldn't get malchus, because you can correct it by doing a mitzvah sasei. So the major sugya in the third parak, which maybe we'll get to after Pesach at some point, is at what point do we say that, okay, this guy's not doing the asei, he's not going to fix it, he's not going to do the mitzvah, so we might as well just give him malchus for the lav. At what point do we give up on the guy doing the essay? Do we assume kimu v'lo kimu? or do we assume bitlu v'lo bitlu? That means as follows. Kima v'lo kima means that Bezim calls the guy in and says, okay, listen, fella, you left over this this nosar, okay? You're not allowed to do that. That's bad. So burn it now, or else we're going to have to give you malchus. And if he says, no, I'm not burning it, say, okay, then we bullwhip him, then we give him the malchus. Because at that point, he says, he's not doing it. We said, kimu, do it. He says, lo kimu, I don't want to do it. So good, so now we're going to give him the malchus. Now, might he burn it tomorrow or in an hour? No, he might, but we give him a chance. We gave him a chance to do the mitzvah. Say now, he said no, he's not doing it. So right away we can give him malchus. That's the sheet of kimu v'lo kimu. The sheet of bitlu v'lo bitlu says no, you still can't give him the malchus, even if he says I'm not doing it, because even though right now he's saying he's not doing it, maybe he'll do it later, maybe he'll do it an hour from now, maybe he'll do it tomorrow, maybe he'll do it in a week from now. So since he still might do the mitzvah saseh, you can't give him malchus yet. The only way you can give him malchus is if he does something to take away the possibility of ever doing the mitzvah saseh. Ah, very good. So what? How can you take away the possibility of ever doing the saseh? He eats the nosar. Now I can't burn it. What do you want me to do? It's too late. I ate it already. So he can't burn the nosar anymore. That's when we say, okay, now we're going to give you malchus. You ate the nosar. Now we're going to give you malchus. So the Gemara discusses, and after Zayinam and Alf, the Gemara says, how many examples are there of a lava nita klase where we're actually going to give someone malchus because of the because he's not going to do the assay anymore? How many examples are there? So the Gemara discusses the possibility on Tazayin on Tazayin Amalav. The Gemara discusses the possibility that an ones shegirishes ishto might be such an example. What does that mean? Ones shegirishes ishto. There is a din in the Torah that if a man is ma'anes a woman, if he's ma'anes a na'ara, the halach is lo siya liisha, lo with a vav. Lamed Vav, that lo siya liisha, he has to marry her. He has a requirement that he has to marry her. Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav, that's lo mitin aleph. Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav, he cannot divorce her for the rest of his life. He has to stay married to her. It's a lo saseh to divorce her after he was ma'anis. Obviously, she has veto power. She could say, I'm not interested in marrying this guy. He just raped me. Hello, I don't want to be with this guy. So then she has veto power on that. She doesn't have to. But if she's interested, then he has to marry her. And he's never allowed to divorce her. And that's sort of a knas that he has to, you know, he has to support her for the rest of her life. He has to marry her. Let's say he does divorce her. Right? He divorced her. It's a lavanita klase. Why is it a lavanita klase? He can fix it. How does he fix it? Remarry her. It's fixable. Oh, so if he's a Kohen, then it's not a lavanita klase. So Gemara discusses that possibility. Yes, as long as she didn't get married to someone else in between. If a Yisrael divorces a woman and then that woman gets married to someone else, then and gets divorced from that guy or that guy dies, then the Yisrael is not allowed to be machzir her. But a Kohen is not allowed to be machzir grusha, so even if she didn't get married to someone else in between. So the Gemara discusses a Kohen, but the Gemara says in this source number two in your package, Ones Shegiresh, if a guy is ma'anis a girl and then he divorces her, Im Yisrael hu, exactly your point, if he's a Yisrael, machzir ve'noloka. Can't get malchus because he could just remarry her. So his what he's supposed to do is remarry her. Vim kohen hu, but if he's a kohen, lo kaveinu machzir. Then he gets malchus because he can't remarry her. So says Gemara, wait a second. Hani chlamante tani kimu v'lo kimu. I understand very well if you're going to say kimu v'lo kimu that you're going to say machzir veinu loka. El mante tani bitlu v'lo bitlu. But if you're going to say bitlu v'lo bitlu. Ones, bitl bitl hechim shkach, so the Gemara goes on to say, how could you ever have a case of ones where it's bitl bitl? Meaning to say, if a guy divorced the woman that he's chayiv to stay married to, so I understand that we can give him malchus if you hold kimu v'lo kimu. How would you be able to give him malchus if you hold kimu v'lo kimu? What does kimu v'lo kimu mean? We tell him, listen, buddy, you aren't allowed to divorce this girl. Remarry her now. And if he says, no, so what do? You give him malchus. That's kimu v'lo kimu. We gave him a chance. We asked him if he wants to do it. He said no. We're going to give him malchus. But if you hold bitlu v'lo bitlu, it's not good enough. What do you have to? What has to happen in order for him to be chayv malchus? He has to take away the chance of ever marrying her again. How would he ever, by a kohen, but what about Yisrael? How would you ever take away the chance of him ever marrying her again? Right. How does? But he has to do something to take away that chance. How would he do something? He would have to kill her. Right? Then you'd give Malkus. Says the Gemara, doesn't work though. Because if he's killing her, you can't give him Malkus. Why can't you give him Malkus? So that's another place where Kamlei B'Drabinei comes up over here in this Masechta. And then we also have Kidei Rosh Hashanah came up all the way back in the first parak. The Mishnah on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph had a discussion. When a person becomes an Eid Zomim, he testifies that someone is chayiv money and he becomes an Eid Zomim. The person wasn't really chayiv the money. So in addition to making the Eidim Zomim pay the money, do we also give them Malkus? On top of that, do we make them suffer Malkus as well? So it's Machlokas Tanoi, Machlokas Rameir and the Chacham. Rameir holds, yes, you give Malkus and the Mamon. And the Chacham say, no, you only give one. So says Gemara, why did the Rabbanan say you only give one? Bisham the Rabbanan, Kidei Rishasoksiv. Mishum Rishachas Atamachayv, Yatamachayv, Mishum Shte Rishayos. Because it says, Kidei Rishasoksiv, you can only give them one punishment, you can't give them both. So throughout Mesechus Makos, the Sugya. What? Good. So El Reb Meir, my time of the Gemara says, Amarula Gamar Mimotzi Shemra. He has a limud, combination of different places to learn from that Motzi Shemra and Nosar, that Malkus and Mammon we can make a person pay. Dafka Malkus and Mammon. By Misa and Mammon, maybe it's not, but Malkus and Mammon, you could be Lokin and Mishalman. There is such a Shita in Tanayim that you could be Lokin and Mishalman, that Dafka those two Onshim. That we could say we're not going to apply Kamlei B'Drabinei. So those are the three places I could think of off the top of my head where it comes up. Kamlei B'Drabinei comes up in Maseches Makos. In Maseches Ksuvos, a couple of very critical Gemaras to frame Kamlei B'Drabinei for us to get a better understanding of how Kamlei B'Drabinei works. Ksuvos Dav Lamed Amud Aleph. Gemara quotes the Shita of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana oses Yom Kippurim keShabbos l'tashlumin. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana made Yom Kippur like Shabbos with regard to monetary payments. Let's say I go to your house on Shabbos, and let's not make your house. Let's say you have a pile of wheat, and I decide that I'm going to do Bir Chametz for you a couple of weeks before Pesach, and I burn all your wheat. I burn all your wheat on Shabbos. Now, you wanted that wheat. You were planning on eating it. You didn't want beer. You were going to do Bir Chametz by eating it over the next 2 weeks. I burnt without permission. I went and I burnt down your pile of wheat. So now, what did I do? On Shabbos. Again, I did this on Shabbos. So what did I do in that action of burning your wheat? Right? Hezek and Chil Shabbos. So Chil Shabbos, I'm Chayiv what? Right? Chayiv Misa, Chayiv Skila. And for Hezek, Mammon, got to pay for it. So the halacha is, no, if you do one crime where you chayiv both Mammon and Misa, Misa, you don't have to pay. Right? Chayiv Misa, but you don't have to pay for it. What about in Yom Kippur? I do the same thing, except it's Yom Kippur, it's not Shabbos. So what do you chayiv for? What's the onesh for Malacha and Yom Kippur? So Malacha and Yom Kippur is kares. Achila and Yom Kippur is kares. Malacha and Yom Kippur is kares. It's not Misa's Paisley. So now, why? Am I going to... Yeah, but the Torah says v'nichrasa. So the Torah says you got kares. So in a certain way, Yom Kippur is like a Shabbos, but it's different than Shabbos. It's a Shabbos in the sense that there's no heter v'chol nefesh.
The last few years, it's happened a lot that Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos.
Right, right. So then you would get the more severe of doing, and you get Mises Bezin, which is more severe. So Yom Kippur, though, let's say it's just regular Yom Kippur, so it's Kares, right? So says Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, Yom Kippur is just like Shabbos with regard to paying for the stuff that you burnt. Why? Because just like Mises Bezin pates you from Tashlumin, so to Kares pates you from Tashlumin. Ma Shabbos mischayev benafsho patem min Tashlumin, av Yom Kippur mischayev benafsho patem min Tashlumin. My time with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, why does Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana say this? Am Rabbi Nemar Ason Bidei Adam, Nemar Ason Bidei Shemayim, Ason Bidei Adam, Patem Minat Ashlumin, Af Ason Amar Bidei Shemayim, Patem Minat Ashlumin. He uses the word Ason Bidei Adam, and he uses the word Ason Bidei Shemayim. What's it talking about? What is the word Ason? So it quotes Shmos Perach of Aleph, and Bereshis Perach Mem Beis. So where does it come up, Shmos Perach of Aleph, this term Ason? What is this Ason in Shmos Perach of Aleph? So the terminology comes up in the following case. The Chumash discusses if two people are in a fight and they're, and one guy hits a pregnant woman while he's fighting, and the woman miscarries as a result of the strike of this guy hitting the pregnant woman. She miscarries a baby. Now, if you cause someone to miscarry, what's the onesh? A lot of you might not know this. This is it's counterintuitive a little bit. The onesh is only mamon. You only have to pay. It's a major discussion in the abortion sugya. Why would the onesh be mamon if abortion is ritzicha?
It's a suffix whether it's an actual person.
Okay. Well, it's a bigger sugya. There's a lot to talk about, obviously. But the onesh is mamon. You get mamon. So the pasuk says, imloya ason anoshi onesh. If there's no ason, then you're going to be punished with the money. What does no ason mean? It means if the woman, the mother, survives. But if the mother dies from your hitting her, then you're not going to have to pay the dmei vlados. You're not going to have to pay the father for the fetuses that perished. What? Because you're chayav misa for the mother. Exactly. So that's where the term ason comes up. So what does it mean in lo yason? Ason means, in that context, a person killing another person. Right? In lo yason, if your strike didn't kill the mother, so that's the ason we relate to over there. Bereshis Mem Beis. What's the ason in Bereshis Mem Beis? Stories of Bereshis, we should remember. So Bereshis Perek Mem Beis. What is going on over there where we have the word ason? So the brothers see Yosef. They don't yet know that he's Yosef. And Yosef says, he counts the ten boys, that's it, only 10 brothers. Is there another one? They say, yeah, there's another one, a younger brother who's not with us, and another younger brother who we didn't bring with us because our father didn't let him bring him with us. So Yosef says, I want the little guy. I want to see Binyamin. Right? So the brothers go back and they tell Yaakov, if you want us to go back to get food, we got to bring Binyamin with us. So what does Yaakov say? I'm afraid to send Binyamin. Pen yeh ason, that there might be an ason b'derech, that there might be some accident. I don't want to lose Binyamin, just like I lost his brother, just like I lost Yosef. So the Gemara says that ason is bidei shamayim. That's talking about death at the hands of heaven, not death at the hands of a human being, because he's worried about Binyamin dying, not Binyamin getting killed by somebody. Ask the kasha. It's a stark kasha, right?
It's not. He's going to die. He's going to die no matter where.
Oh, I thought you were asking something else. Okay, that's true. Kasha on Yaakov Avinu, he's saying. If it was meant to happen, it was meant to happen. But still, you don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Traveling is dangerous or whatever. So, what's the Gemara saying? That ason must be bidei shamayim. It must be an ason that's bidei shamayim. Maybe Yaakov was worried that a mugger was going to, bandits were going to come and kill him. So it's probably because Yaakov says, I don't want an ason to happen to him like happened to his brother. As far as Yaakov knew, what happened to Yosef? Chayara, the beast ripped him apart. So Yaakov was saying, I don't want it to happen to him, an ason to happen to him like happened to his brother. So what he's referring to the ason is Bidei Shemayim, the Chayara killed him. So, since it says Ason in Bereshis Mem Beis, and that's Bidei Shemayim, and it says Ason in Shemos Chavalv, and that's Bidei Adam, so just like an Ason Bidei Adam would pater you from Mammon, so too an Ason Bidei Shemayim would pater you from Mammon. Good. So, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion that even if you're only Chayiv Kares, you are pater from Tashlumin. You don't have to pay. Kamle B'drab Mine. What you see from Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is that we say kam levidamine, even if the more severe punishment is not going to be applied by Beis Din. Kares happens by Hashem. Unless Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would hold like Rabbi Akiva, that people who are chayiv kares also get malchus. Rabbi Akiva in our Gemara says people who are chayiv kares also get malchus. Because Kares itself is from Hashem, Malkus is from Beis Din, so Beis Din can still give Malkus. Also, then maybe it's really the Malkus Shebo that's pottering you from Mama. Right? If you would hold like Rabbi Akiva, then when you're Chayv Kares, you're also automatically Chayv Malkus. Maybe it's the Malkus pottering you from money. The Gemara also says in Malkus that if you're chayiv karis and you get Malkus, the Malkus patters you from the karis. That the surin of Malkus will exempt you from the karis. This historically was a very important fact. The reason it was an important fact historically is about a little over 500 years ago, after...
Give themselves...
Oh, why?
So they're not chayiv karis.
Good. When do you know when that happened? And historically, why that happened? After Gerush Svarad, after the Inquisition, there were a lot of people called Moranos. There were a lot of people that were living public lives as Christians in Spain and escaped eventually. And they felt that they had done things in Spain for which they are chayiv karis. And they were very God-fearing, literally fearing, and they feared that God would give them karis. So they went to the rabbis in Tzfat at the time, and they said, "Holy rabbis in Tzfat, we need you to give us Malkus. Because otherwise we're chayiv karis, and we don't want to face karis, we'd rather get Malkus." The rabbis in Tzfat had a problem, though. They couldn't give Malkus. Why couldn't they give Malkus? They didn't have smicha. You need smicha in order to give Malkus. Not smicha like we have, you know. They need yora yora, hetero ra. No, they needed smicha. Ish mi piyish, nebosh rabbeinu. Didn't exist. The chain was broken already. So what did they do? So they found the Rambam. There's a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Sanhedrin, where the Rambam says, how are we ever going to build the Beis HaMikdash? You need Musmachim in order to be able to paskin, and all in order to be able to have a Sanhedrin to paskin, and all the shailas that are going to come up in building the Beis HaMikdash. And it's going to be before Tchias HaMeisim that we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So our mess is a very stark akasha. How are we going to be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? It's supposed to happen before Tchias HaMeisim. No one has smicha. So what's going to happen? So I would have said, okay, Hashem will figure it out when the time comes, you know? That's why we pay Mashiach the big bucks. He's got to figure that out. But no, the Rambam says there's a teretz. The way to do it is you get all of Chachmei Yisrael together, and if all of Chachmei Yisrael decide to give someone smicha, that person has smicha. We can reinstitute the smicha. So the Chum and Tzfat got together and said, okay, let's do it. Let's get all Chachmei Yisrael together. Why not? We'll reinstitute smicha. In the 1500s, reinstituting smicha. And they did, and they reinstituted smicha. And it was a whole tumult, you can imagine. Not everyone in the world was so happy about this. The Chachmei Yerushalayim got all upset. It was a big machlos. The Chachmei Yerushalayim said, Ram says you need Kol Chachmei Yisrael, you never asked us. So the Chachmei Yisrael said, yeah, because we're much greater than you. So like, we're the Rov and whatever. And the Chachmei Yerushalayim said, I know you're much greater than us, but you need Kol Chachmei Yisrael. So the Chachmei Yisrael said, Rubo Kikula, we're the Rov Chachmei Yisrael, that's good enough. No, Rubo Kikula only exists if you consult with Kula. But you didn't even ask us in advance. So the whole big tumult of the smicha. Who had this smicha that they reinstituted? Big names. The Al-Sheikh had this smicha. The Beit Yosef had this smicha. This is Maribe Rav smicha. This was a big deal. They kept it going for a couple of generations. All because of that Gemara. I don't know if they ever actually gave anyone Malkus. But it was all because of that Gemara of the Chayiv Kris Chayiv Malkus. That is one Gemara in Ksubis to know. The other critical Gemara I just mentioned very quickly is the Gemara says, the Gemara darshans the Pasuk V'lo Yason Anoshi Anesh. So the Gemara asks, why do I need two Psukim to tell me, Kam Lebidrabnine? We have our Pasuk of Kedera Shasau, and you have the Pasuk of Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh, which means that if you hit the woman and only the babies die but not the mother, so then you're going to pay. But if the mother dies, you don't pay. Why if the mother dies, don't you pay? Kam Levidramine. So that Pasuk teaches me Kam Levidramine. What do I need Kedei Rishasel for? So the Gemara says, one is to teach me Misa Mammon, one is to tell me Malkus Mammon. That Kam Levidramine applies equally both in Misa and Mammon cases and in Malkus and Mammon cases, or that it applies both in Misa and Mammon or in Misa and Malkus cases. Just tell me Kam Levidramine applies broadly. Tomorrow what I would like to get into is some of the lumdus of Kam Levidramine. So now we have a little bit of background. Tomorrow, Ben Shem, we'll start getting into some of the lumdus with Ketzos and Rav Elchanan and others.